Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And what the hell is going on here? We got OPEC, we got Schmopec, we got, what do we call them? OPEC, the Organization of Public Cheats. I mean, does anybody really believe that that deal is going to stand? Okay, I mean, you know, it's an interesting problem and an interesting issue. You know, when we needed OPEC, they held us over the barrel, right? Literally held us over the barrel. And we don't need them. Why are we trying to help them? Okay, why are we involved in this whatsoever? There is no deal. I'd keep pumping and put them down. I don't understand where, you know, and why the traders think that it's such a great deal. I mean, they're going to freeze production up here near highs. So what? I mean, you know, if you're going to have this kind of deal, what difference does it make? Do we actually think that if they manipulate prices higher, okay, that the frackers are not going to go out and start pumping more oil? I mean, does anybody believe that that's going to be the case? Does anybody believe this can actually be controlled? You know, as I said, you know, 30 years ago, when they had the control of the oil, okay, and they had us by the you know what's, there was more to talk about, okay. But of course, then remember, oil went down to $10 a barrel, so all of a sudden, you know, they need to make so much more, and you know, I don't know, how did they survive for so long, the sheiks, and all the kings and all the guys from that nation building all this wonderful stuff with all this money when oil was $10 a barrel. Okay. How did they manage? You know, it wasn't that long ago that oil was, you know, $10 a barrel. Okay. It wasn't that long ago that oil was 160 either. But how did they survive when oil was at those prices? You know, I love the conversation of how much it has to be for somebody to make money. Now somehow they survived with a lot cheaper oil for a lot longer. And their costs have not gone up very much, okay? You know, I guarantee you their minimum wage ain't $15, okay? So I look at it and I go, so what? Why is this in the frickin' news? That's what I want to know. It's not newsworthy, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's a bunch of horseshit that it doesn't matter anyways. I've said this time and time again on air, saying that in today's world, OPEC means nothing, at least to me. Okay? There is nothing for them that they're going to do. There's nothing that I'm going to gain from them. And for those who think that it's such a big deal, I think you better think again, because it's the same as always. Okay. It'll be the same crap, the same stuff. And you actually think that they'll honor the deal? That would be the next question. Okay. Do they actually honor what goes on? And I would have to say, I would doubt it. Okay, so you know, as we do so often in this country, you know, we get involved in these deals with the devil. Okay, and you know, this is where I get lost. Okay, this is where I end up having problems. Now, we've got In this country alone, we've got a 100-year supply of oil. Okay? In this country alone, we have no problem being able to produce. And certainly, we are self-sufficient and actually have the ability to export. And that's without even really trying. But yet, you know, we keep hearing about gas prices and, you know, that they need to be higher. We need higher oil. Well, where is it written that higher oil means a stronger economy? Now, again, I don't know much, okay, but I know that oil was $10 a barrel. That's the reason that we did not bother taking it ourselves years ago, because it was so cheap. So it was so cheap to buy it, except the problem when you buy it from somebody is you end up being beholden to them because they can hold you hostage. Okay. So now that we have finally, you know, become self-sufficient with our oil, why do we care? Okay. I just don't get it. You know, I think there's a lot of other things that we need to be concerned about. And certainly, you know, the Russians and everybody else's cost of oil wouldn't be part of what I would care. And again, you know, if anybody believes, excuse me, that this deal, if it goes through and if they honor it, those are two very big ifs, by the way, but if it goes through and if they honor it, do you think it has any benefit for anybody but them? Of course not. I mean, you know, again, I get very frustrated when I continue to see bad deals. Now, you know, ISIS was able to thrive when oil prices were higher because they were stealing it, okay, and they're stealing it and selling it for those higher prices. Well, now they're going to have to, you know, they'll steal it and they'll get money for it. But again, I don't understand why we just don't pump them out. Okay, I mean, to me, it's more logical to hurt your competition than to help them. And I don't know. I'm just tired of giving everything away. I'm just tired of worrying about everybody else when we got enough problems right here that need to be addressed. We've got skyrocketing debt. We've got anything you can imagine that's not good. But yet, here we are getting involved again in party to all this crap. You know, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just me. I find it, the frustration levels of the what the Federal Reserve does, what the president is doing, what the candidate is doing, that to me, I don't know, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. I can't take it anymore. These guys are driving me crazy. I don't know. You tell me. You give me your views of this whole thing. But again, to me, it's another bunch of shit. It means nothing. It's another garbage in, garbage out, and that's all we're seeing. And of course, we know that our good old friends from the Organization of Public Enemy Cheaters will somehow manage to stick it up somebody's, you know what. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, as always, when you miss an episode, you have to go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the show every day, and make sure you do that. You got to help Bubba out. You know, we got to pump out more episodes. Got to help us out. In the meantime, go to bubbatrading.com. A, obviously I do a lot of writing there, but B, I think you need to check out the hedging program. You know, again, this is not the horizons don't look great. And I'm not trying to create fear. I'm just telling you need to check it out so you can protect. But in the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we did a little bit of educating the other day, and I had some pretty good points. And I think there's some things that you should hear, and some of the things I talk about all the time that will actually help your economic life as well. So let's go back and listen to a couple of excerpts. This is the Bubba Show, where let's go check it out right now.
Saved it for last. Okay. Is gold. Paper gold. Okay. Now, I personally believe that there is not enough gold in the world to cover the amount of paper that is sold for it. Okay? That's my personal opinion. I have no factual basis. I only know that I brought this up a couple weeks ago. When people went in to redeem their paper gold at Deutsche Bank, they wouldn't redeem it. Okay? I think that there's too many ETFs reflecting gold. I don't think there's enough gold out there. So if you want to be an owner of gold, I believe that you should buy the physical metal. If you're trading it, then it doesn't matter. But if you're looking to, I would not be buying GLD or any of those as a long-term hold against future inflation. I would be buying physical gold and putting it in my pocket, okay, or putting it in my safe, okay? I just, again, I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not telling you that I know that for factual, but I do see signs to me that indicate there may not be enough physical gold. You know, we've had every once in a while it comes up, and I just want to warn everybody that that is a very real possibility. Okay. Now, before I get into our stocks, okay, Vegas is confirmed December 14th and 15th. I'll get out an email to everybody. We're staying at the Golden Nugget. Okay. It's going to be $59 a night. You'll make all the arrangements. I'll give you the fee it's going to cost to attend, but everything else will be on you. You know, you'll make yourself, but I have the deal for $59 and no resort charge at the Nugget. Breakfast and lunch will be provided. And I'm going to go in on the 13th, and we're going to have a number of different speakers that'll be coming. Hopefully my accountant and the Badger and myself and a few others. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great event. And so just to let you know, if you're interested, great. And the text updates have been great. If you're not getting them and you'd like to get them, you have to email me. And so because you have to be part of it, but I do have some fun with the texts, and I do send them out, you know, when I see something happening in the markets. So that's pretty cool. It is December. It's a month after the Traders Expo. Okay. It is a month after the Traders Expo. I'm not a Traders Expo guy. I don't know why anybody would go to the Traders Expo, to be honest with you. I don't know. I've never seen any value. I've been to a number of them, and I've never found anything worth value there, but I get it. We are definitely a month after. So it might cause some grief. I know some areas said they're going, hey, listen, it is what it is. You know, I'd rather go see me than the Traders Expo, just not because it's me. boy. What about the $650 trillion derivative market? Which nightmare waiting to happen? Yeah, look, as I said, my dear, you are always on your A game. Okay, you get it, and that, again, but see, now you've said that, and I know it. We both agree. Okay, but yet here we are near all time highs, right? So, look. The markets will break when they break, and you're going to have plenty of time. You're not going to be in an urgent state to get it, okay? But, of course, the simple answer to that is hedging your portfolio, then you don't have to worry about it, and you'll enjoy the sell-off versus be worried about it. You made it. Good for you. Are you late today, young man? Or that meeting you run late? Anyways, so American Airlines, Alpha Alpha Lima. So last week we said we're not going to be a seller. We'd only be a buyer. And, of course, it failed. It didn't go anywhere. But, again, we're not going anywhere. So what do I want to get involved with this for? I'm just going to call it neutral. I'm not even giving you levels here because, again, where am I going? There's no error. There's no movement. There's no action. There's not a heck of a lot for me to do with this right now. So instead of trying to find a trade or force a trade, let's just be neutral. You know, it's okay. It's okay not to trade once in a while. It's okay to sit back and relax. Okay? Apple. Alpha, Alpha, Papa, Lima. Now, surprisingly enough, Apple was up today. But last week we did say we wanted to sell it, and we said just sell it. And of course, it did come down. Now Friday was interesting. I don't know what happened. I just was watching, and all of a sudden it just came falling. But notice now, ever so slightly, the little trajectory here, it's kind of working its way lower. Now I would assume we filled this little gap here. I would think 110 is probably in play. You'll probably get a little bit of a bounce off of 110. Now, I believe we're coming all the way down to 100. But again, it's not going to be in 1 second or 1 minute. I would look at this and I'd say, well, let me sell. I'd be a seller about 115-ish, and I'd be a buyer. Now, I'm not a buyer, but I would look to cover, or if you want to be a buyer, at 110. And you can see it once it decides to get going, it doesn't take long. Okay? So that's what I'd be looking for here. AMBA, Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. Okay. So we thought shorting at 70. Okay. Now, we never got back to 70. And look what's happening. We're just now stuck in this tight little range. Okay. Going to make a move, right? We know from this pattern, okay, as they start to narrow in, okay, that it's going to pop one way or the other. I don't see any reason to change the levels. We're kind of equidistant right now from 62 and 70. I wouldn't have a problem buying it at 62. I wouldn't have a problem selling at 70. Okay. Hold on one second. Okay, so, you know, again, that's a solid footprint, okay? I'm looking at it as the markets are going. Right now, if I pick any side here, I'm totally guessing, okay? Now, I could make assumptions that, well, it should maybe pop the other side, but why make the assumption? Why not wait and let the market dictate to me the best action? Amazon, Alpha Michael, Zulu, November. So we thought that we want to look at 780. Well, of course, once again, you know, we fought the law and the law won, right? We fought the tape and the tape won, which is usually what happens, which is why we try to stay away from some of these, okay? I thought it was a reasonable guess, expectation, and it wasn't. It immediately plowed up. So, again, do we want to try to look for another spot to sell it again? Probably not. I mean, again, I hate Amazon. I think it's so far overvalued. But in the meantime, it keeps going up. So am I going to be a hero trying to fight that it keeps going up? Or am I going to just mind my own business and wait till it gives me an opportunity? You know, I did this once, which is, again, the reason I can speak of these things a lot is that I've already done this, right? I've already blown my brains out on Yahoo in the 90s. Okay, knowing that it was valueless, and of course it was. And, you know, we between the badger and I, we had so many stories about, you know, losing enormous amounts of money, knowing that these companies would never make it. But in the meantime, while you're trying to wait, you could go broke waiting. I mean, this is so far overvalued, but in the meantime, people are chasing money. Money goes to the popular stocks. This is still a momentum stock. So do we want to really be the ones that say, you can't go any higher? I don't think so. I'm going to call this neutral because, you know, as I said before, you could have bought it at 755 or 760. I did not, and I still will not buy it. I'm only a seller. I just have to find the right spot, and I can't try to force a spot because at the end of the day, you typically end up losing because you're not really getting the probability model on your site.
And that is something that you always worry about. I mean, you know, we know it's overvalued, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, where am I going to go? Do I want to kiss the truck when it's coming at me at 100 miles an hour? And the answer is no. But the better answer is libertytalk.fm. You know, we got a whole network over there. Okay, 24-hour-a-day programming. Go check it out and go download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge right now. Get my numbers up. Help me, help me. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be back, and we got to give our football prediction, too, for tonight's game. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon. Let Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we do have Thursday night football. The Miami Dolphin, the awful Miami Dolphin against, I don't know, the Cincinnati Bengal. I don't think they ain't much better, but they are a seven-point favorite. Not a big fan of the game in general, but for, as we would call it, the pizza play, We will take Miami plus the points, because we know one thing: at least we're winning before the game starts. So let's get back and hear me evaluate some of these stocks. I want you to understand how the footprint works and how the whole model works. So let's go back to evaluation. Here we go.
Apache, Alpha Papa, Alpha Papa Alpha. I'm going to be a seller at 60. And here we are again. It's not like we're, oh my God, we're getting rich, but I think that's still a good level. I think that, you know, again, remember, this was driven initially by, we know it was short covering. They had a find. They found some oil, whatever. They found oil and natural gas. They popped because the shorts got nervous. They're driven by the news. So we had a blow off to the upside, a little bit of a sell up, and then we'd retest it. But again, this looks like a model that I believe this gap's going to be tested. And again, I'd rather put the short side of this right now than the long side. And I think that 60 is still an okay level. I don't think you're in much danger here, especially if you're using a stop or you're setting up, you know, a back ratio spread. Okay. But I think we come down. I think we fill that gap. And I think when you see when oil starts getting creamed again, and I think it will, I think you'll see a much bigger move. Baba, Bravo Alpha, Bravo Alpha. All right, this is obviously continuing to try to work higher. Okay, now we looked at 105. Now, this would not have been one we would have taken because of the way that it traded through it. It went straight through. There was nothing to do. We know that. Now we broke out, left the gap. Now they filled the gap. Really a strange chart pattern. It looks like it appears that it wants to continue to try to go higher. Now, again, I'm not one of the, I can't chase momentum. It's not my style. Okay. I would say those of you who like that, you know, 105 is probably a reasonable level to get in. I'm going to stay off of this for a little bit because I don't have a solid footprint that says I want to participate. The move has been very good, very hard, and basically straight up. And I think we have to go back almost 2 years, I think. Yeah. Okay. And basically, the next real resistance area would be somewhere probably around 110, 111, which is where it failed from just recently. So for me, for my money, I'm not getting in up here. I'll wait. I'll be patient. I mean, I'll bet you you know, a bit dinner for everybody, which is a lot, okay, that we come back and fill this gap at 85 to 92. So I can't tell you when. So I'll wait. Patience is a virtue. Celgene, Charlie Echo Lima Golf. All right, so our range held, the 108, 104. We popped through it a little bit, but here we come back down again. Now, again, notice that we stay in this big old range, okay? So, again, if it hasn't been able to break out of that range, why would I think this is the time? This is what hurts many traders and investors, is they try to outsmart the tape, okay? Very clearly, the stock is basically 102 to 118, let's say. That's as clear as can be. That's the high and the low of the last 3 months. But it's never been able to really break out of 116-ish and basically 104. So now we get to 104 to 116. So we'd be look to be a buyer around 104. Now, you could step up. This could have been, you know, a new inside the parameters, you know, 110, 112 area as a selling point. I would have no problem selling it there. But clearly, we're in this wider range, so then it depends how you want to play inside the tighter range. Because, you know, again, there is no real secret here. It's right clear in front of you what it's doing. It's telling you, this is what I'm doing. So when it goes down to 104, buy me. When it goes to 110, sell me. I mean, again, that's really the way you look at it. But many of us have a tendency to get too involved and start researching and try to find a reason to either prove our point or to dispute it. In the meantime, if you just trade the footprint and forget about the news, you know, you'd be a lot heavier. I mean, it was up to me. You'd never watch the news. You'd never read the Wall Street Journal. You'd never do anything. You'd just trade the footprint. I mean, basically, that's what I do. Believe me, after tomorrow, I don't watch the news all week either. I only know that I'm on tomorrow, so I just want to be prepped for anything that might come on. But after tomorrow, you know, I don't watch news either. Okay? I watch, you know, sports or whatever, if I'm doing anything, and I watch the tape. I watch the market because I like to trade fast and I like to trade the futures. All right. Conoco, Charlie Oscar Papa. Okay? And we said, okay, we didn't want to be a buyer. We said, look at the low that was putting in. Okay, but we wanted to let it trade out. Okay, we marked it off, and then we got this big gyro, but we never got back to where we're trying to go. So now I can confidently say that I would look at this from 39-ish, and I'd sell at 42. I would take either side of the trade. I'd prefer, if I could pick my side, I'd like to see it go to 42 first, okay, and then come down to 39, because I think we have a better chance of it breaking down than breaking up. Okay, so that looks pretty good. The diamonds. Okay, so I said last week we're going to be neutral. I said lean to the short side if I was doing anything, but neutral. And again, notice where we are. We're just in this little box. Okay, we're not going. You know, again, I'd like it to be exciting. I'd like to give you all kinds of reasons to say, but here, what's changed? Here we are. And what the hell's going on here? Why is it? My thing's all wacky. Okay. I don't know. Anyways, we're in this box. Why would I want to get involved in a $180 stock that can't go below 180 and can't go above 184? It just is not, to me, again, it goes back to a logic problem. It's not logical for me to want to trade this right now. I'll call it neutral. I mean, 180 looks to be support, probably a buy. 184 to 186 is probably a sale. But again, I think there's so many better opportunities than a $180 stock that's going to move 2-3% that you're much better off looking elsewhere. EEM. Okay. We called it neutral, and then we said sell at 38. And there it is. Boom. Okay. It popped out. Okay. But again, 38, 32, 38, really? Same thing. And here we come. So now look for 36. Okay. This isn't, wrong drawing tool. This is not an unbelievable stock. Okay. It's you know, one that's range bound, that I know that somebody wants to, you know, be short this long term. You know, you could sell it long term if you wanted to be. Okay. But overall, you know, it looks like it's right now. It looks like it's found the home 36 to 38. Just look again, follow the footprint, and you get a pretty clear picture if you look at it from that perspective. Okay. Now, you know, to me, not really active enough. This is one that I look at, and I'll look to, you know, do a trade that sets up that it'll give me a big kick if I'm right and if it does something wild, but I won't lose anything if I'm wrong, you know, not much. So that's what I like to do here. But right now at 37, there's nothing to do. It's 36 to 38. Twitter. I'll look at that when I get done. No problem. Okay. Facebook. Foxtrot Bravo. Okay. So we said, sell it at 130. And there indeed is 130. And here is 127. Interesting enough, it kind of held, you know, a little sooner than I'd like it to be quite frank. But here it is. So now, the big decision here is, does it go back to 130 from here? Because certainly I could make a case that we could rally from here. And if it breaks here, then it probably goes to 122. Now, my advice, if you're in short this, is, you know, to tighten up your stop a little bit, make sure you lock in a profit, resell it at 130, okay, and then look for the break to 122. That's the way I would look for it. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. I'm short it, okay? So that's the way I would play this, okay, is look to lock in a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to get crazy. I'm not going to make it too tight, okay? You know, if it does take me out, I'm a big favorite to get reshorted again. So I'm a big favorite to take a little profit out and then get reshorted. That's the way that I'd look here. But certainly, I can't fight where it's at right now. And it really held. I mean, it had a chance to get, you know, fairly ugly the last couple of days, and it was and managed to maintain and hang in here. That would be, to me, a little bit scary that we're holding here.
And that is basically what we look at when we look at footprints of the market. That's the important thing. Anyways, libertytalk.fm. Get that download. Get your downloads. Get them now at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Check out bubbatrading.com. Make sure that you get hooked up. We got a lot of things going on. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as you know, on Wednesdays I do RFD Radio with Marlon Bowling, and we had a lot to say yesterday. Check it out. Pretty much spot on the market, and let's see what goes on. Let's go to Marlon Bowling right now. Here we go. Marlon Bowling.
With BubbaTrading.com in Chicago to shed some light on the markets here this morning. Todd, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Good morning, Marlon. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we're surviving the week so far. Lots of gyrations already in the markets. We'll
how about we just call it ugly?
Talk in a little bit, but the grain markets were fairly timid here overnight, weren't they?
We could just call it ugly and call it a day there. Now it's been a little bit of rough trade, but I think, you know, when I look at it, I mean, soybeans 9:40 to $10, and of course we got down yesterday, made a low to 9:39, and of course then rallied off of that, and you know now trading, you know, around 9:48, so with a low of 9:46 overnight, you know, not horrible. You know, the whole market tone in all markets is kind of wait and see, quiet. We're not sure, not a lot going on, not a lot of real reasons to drive these markets, any of them higher, and they are holding ranges though pretty good. I'm comfortable with the way that beans have held up. I mean, you know, we had a 9:40 bottom. We came down. We went all the way back almost to 10. Now we're back at that 9:40. I mean, you know, from a trading perspective, I'd be looking to be a buyer here. I think we see higher prices, but I don't think that this is going to be the breakout period yet where we're going to start to get a consistent rally higher. In corn, I think you've seen a low hold. you know, it's not, listen, it's not great. And it's certainly not, if you're owning, if you own them right now, you're certainly not real happy. But, you know, the 314, you know, is held 315. And we're, you know, we're 330 with a high of 345. So we're kind of mid range. I would expect to see a bounce somewhere around here. The key here is that we have to get through that 345 level to see a consistent rally. And then, you know, and we, you know, 381 the low, we've come off it. We're at 403. You know, if we can get through 410, I think we run to 430, 440. And that's kind of where we are. We're really just in these dull markets that are not real exciting right now. And there's not a lot of speculation to drive them right at the moment either. But I do think they look well. I think they're holding up fairly well, but they're obviously they are holding up at the lower ends, which again, if you're an owner and you're sitting on them, you're not real comfortable here. But if you're hedged, you're not in bad shape either.
Well, on the November soybeans yesterday, I was looking at a bar chart here, a daily chart, and we did make new lows for the move. In fact, it's made three attempts at these lows since late July. And it poked down below those triple bottoms that we've had since July. So that printed a new low since all the way back in early April. But it did close back above the trade from the day before. So it kind of saved that. It kind of rescued the day a little bit there. But now with the lower trade overnight, how concerned are you that if we would make new lows again today, how far would that open up the bottom side risk here?
You know, I'm pretty convinced that they won't go lower. The 934 print yesterday, which, listen, it happens. I think we're fairly steady, and we've got some pretty good support coming in a little bit lower than there if we had to go down to there. Now, again, it certainly could be ugly, and it certainly could turn them over. We've certainly made lower highs, you know, recently. But we're really in this big, choppy, range-bound, basically since, you know, around the 20th of July. And, you know, I think we continue in this range. I think we've priced in a lot of bad news versus what the dollar is going to do, because I think the markets feel the dollar is going to start to spike here with a lot of the troubles around the world, which would create some pressure. And I think most of the bad news, if not all of it, has already been priced in to these grain prices. So I think that they're more likely on a bottom here. It doesn't mean we're going straight up, but I think more likely we're going to hold in these levels and look for higher prices from here. But it should be a choppy, turmoil-driven trade. But overall, I think we sit and we have most likely bottoms in place here.
And it's the second week in a row. We've had 2 days to open the week with sharp overnight export sales of soybeans, and they didn't respond at all very well. So that's a little concerning to the trade as well. Todd, I want to bring you back here in a moment, and we'll talk more about the markets. Lots more to consider. We have some outside markets and these crazy livestock trade futures here that we have to discuss as well, try and make sense out of that. So we'll be back with Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We've got some new pre-report estimates for the big quarterly grain stocks report coming out on Friday, on the 30th. We are looking at corn ending stocks of 1.76 billion bushels, soybeans 202 million, and the wheat at 2.4 billion bushels. So didn't know if that raised any eyebrows as far as you were concerned or not.
No, I mean, you know, again, I'm a big believer in price and the price action around certain levels. I think that a lot of this has already been priced in to the markets, and that could be why we're, you know, we're kind of waylaying down here towards the bottoms as well. So, you know, again, I'm a big believer in the price and the trade, thinking that it's a much better idea because that's where the money's flowing. And typically this information has been available through, you know, some of the bigger guys for a while. So I think it just makes it easier that way to follow price action and react to markets as they move.
I see where the value of the U.S. dollar is a little higher again overnight, as well as the crude oil. It's kind of interesting. It seems like here lately they've been going the same direction. That's a little unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, again, you know, you see crude. Now crude is going to probably trade its way down to 40, I would think, in here. Goldman Sachs made a bearish call yesterday on oil at 43. I think it goes probably to 40. It looks like it should have some pretty good heavy selling pressure. And the dollar, I think, is actually probably underpriced for the way that the commodity space has been priced recently.
I think that when you look at the bond market, which is interest rates, and even though the Fed didn't do anything, the overall interest rate market is indicating that they want higher rates. Higher rates is going to mean a higher dollar, and a higher dollar is going to mean weaker commodity prices. But I believe that the commodities have already priced in a much higher dollar than we're showing right now. So I don't expect the dollar to have great action here unless the dollar just collapses, which I do not believe will be the case.
And just for kicks and giggles here, on the quarterly Hogs and Pigs report, we also have pre-report estimates out. In case you're wondering, the all hogs and pigs number is expected to be 101.1% of a year ago, kept for breeding 100.6, kept for marketing 101.1%. That's what the trade is looking for. Now, speaking of livestock, yesterday that was a debacle on the cattle side, and the hogs weren't much better. I don't know. What do you make sense, or how do you make sense of this type of trade, and what do you do about it?
I thought the hogs were actually worse than because they were actually higher. We got a runaway train. Now, the fats were not bad until they broke 104. Which is, you know, right around where they closed. You know, they had the fats had been the best performer, you know, hitting under the buck and then going all the way back almost to 110. And now they sold off a little bit too much. I'm a little bit concerned here. You know, I'll give the 104 level a chance here to react, and let's see how they act today. But it does look ugly, and there is a lot of things going on the street in the cash markets as well. I think that the feeders look bad and look weak. That gives me some concern here. You know, 130 was a pretty key level, and when we couldn't hold there, you know, now, you know, we're at 126 and right dead on the bottom, made a new low yesterday, but again, a new low compared to a couple of weeks ago. We'll see how it is. If it does not pop from here, you could probably see some sellers come in and really try to push this down. Now, you know, if you own it, obviously, and you're hedged, you're okay. I mean, we don't want to see them go lower. But if you're looking to get in, this would be an opportunity. Not now, but if we push them much lower and see what we would call a blow-off to the downside where we have some panic, that would be where you'd want to step in. We're obviously at awfully low prices here. Low prices can go lower, but I would be looking to enter with new money if we saw some sort of real panic bottom come in here. And that's a real possibility the way that they closed yesterday. And I think the opening is interesting. If we get a higher opening, look out below. There'll be a lot of sellers. If they take them down early, I would look for a rally.
And I was just looking back here. The recent low on the December live cattle would have been back on September 6th, I believe, and it looked like a low was 101.27. So we're a little ways from that, but not that far away. Getting close once again. All right. Well, Todd, thanks for all the comments this morning. Good to visit with you again. Todd Bubba Horwitz, he is with BubbaTrading.com. Check that website out. He has all kinds of great information on there. He'll be glad to help you out with your marketing plan as well. We'll be back with more commodity.
And check that BubbaTrading.com out, just like Marlon says. In the meantime, look at the action from yesterday and how the action worked. We got to go. It is up against the clock. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. Enjoy the football game. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, have a great day. A great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.